Chapter 97. Friends exchanged looks of doubt and amazement. "Is it not possible," apostrophe said Mr. Witherden, after a long pause, "that this note may have found its way into the hat by some accident, such as the removal of papers on the desk, for instance?" But this was clearly shown to be quite impossible. Mr. Swiveller, though an unwilling witness, could not help proving to demonstration, from the position in which it was found, that it must have been designedly secreted. "It's very distressing," said Brass, "immensely distressing, I am sure. When he comes to be tried, I shall be very happy to recommend him to mercy on account of his previous good character. I did lose money before, certainly, but it doesn't quite follow that he took it. The presumption's against him, strongly against him, but we're Christians, I hope?" said the constable, looking round, "that no gentleman here can give evidence as to whether he's been flush of money of late. Do you happen to know, sir?" "He has had money from time to time, certainly," returned Mr. Garland, to whom the man had put the question. "But that, as he always told me, was given him by Mr. Brass himself." "Yes, to be sure," said Kit eagerly. "You can bear me out in that, sir?" cried Brass, looking from face to face with an expression of stupid amazement. "The money, you know, the half crowns that you gave me from the lodger," said Kit. "Oh dear me!" cried Brass, shaking his head and frowning heavily. "This is a bad case, I find. A very bad case indeed." "What? Did you give him no money on account of anybody, sir?" asked Mr. Garland, with great anxiety. "I give him money, sir," returned Sampson. "Oh, come, you know, this is too barefaced. Constable, my good fellow, we had better be going." "What?" shrieked Kit. "Does he deny that he did? Ask him, somebody, pray. Ask him to tell you whether he did or not." "Did you, sir?" asked the notary. "I tell you what, gentlemen," replied Brass, in a very grave manner, "he'll not serve his case this way, and really, if you feel any interest in him, you had better advise him to go upon some other tack." "Did I, sir? Of course I never did." Cried Kit, on whom a light broke suddenly. "Master, Mr. Abel, Mr. Witherden, every one of you, he did it. What I have done to offend him, I don't know, but this is a plot to ruin me. Mind, gentlemen, it's a plot, and whatever comes of it, I will say with my dying breath that he put that note in my hat himself. Look at him, gentlemen, see how he changes color. Which of us looks the guilty person, he or I?" "You hear him, gentlemen?" said Brass, smiling, "you hear him. Now, does this case strike you as assuming rather a black complexion, or does it not? Is it at all a treacherous case, do you think, or is it one of mere ordinary guilt? Perhaps, gentlemen, if he had not said this in your presence and I had reported it, you'd have held this to be impossible likewise, eh?" With such pacific and bantering remarks did Mr. Brass refute the foul aspersion on his character. But the virtuous Sarah, moved by stronger feelings, and having at heart, perhaps, a more jealous regard for the honor of her family, flew from her brother's side, without any previous intimation of her design, and darted at the prisoner with the utmost fury. It would undoubtedly have gone hard with Kit's face, but that the wary constable, foreseeing her design, drew him aside at the critical moment, and thus placed Mr. Chuckster in circumstances of some jeopardy. For that gentleman happening to be next the object of Miss Brass's wrath, and rage being, like love and fortune, blind, was pounced upon by the fair enslaver, and had a false collar plucked up by the roots, and his hair very much disheveled, before the exertions of the company could make her sensible of her mistake. The constable, taking warning by this desperate attack, and thinking perhaps that it would be more satisfactory to the ends of justice if the prisoner were taken before a magistrate, whole, rather than in small pieces, led him back to the hackney coach without more ado, and moreover insisted on Miss Brass becoming an outside passenger, to which proposal the charming creature, after a little angry discussion, yielded her consent, and so took her brother Sampson's place upon the box, Mr. Brass with some reluctance agreeing to occupy her seat inside. These arrangements perfected, they drove to the justice room with all speed, followed by the notary and his two friends in another coach. Mr. Chuckster alone was left behind, greatly to his indignation, for he held the evidence he could have given relative to Kit's returning to work out the shilling to be so very material as bearing upon his hypocritical and designing character, that he considered its suppression little better than a compromise of felony. At the justice room, they found the single gentleman, who had gone straight there, and was expecting them with desperate impatience. But not 50 single gentlemen rolled into one could have helped poor Kit, who in half an hour afterwards was committed for trial, and was assured by a friendly officer on his way to prison that there was no occasion to be cast down, for the sessions would soon be on, and he would, in all likelihood, get his little affair disposed of, and be comfortably transported, in less than a fortnight. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.